Ryan Seacrest here. Every great barbecue has one secret ingredient. Patience. You do a little, and you wait a little. And while your dinner does its thing, you got a few minutes to yourself, right? Well, kick back with a little Chumba Casino. A flip and a spin. Who knows? Maybe even a login bonus. It is the perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
This is huge news for true crime lovers who've been following this Menendez brothers case, which I feel like we talked about a lot in 2024 because of that documentary and that monster show that came out that recaptured what happened with Eric and Lyle Menendez back in 1989 when both of them killed their parents and then were sentenced to life in prison without parole. Now, a lot of people have felt like they should have gotten either a resentencing or they should have had the opportunity to have parole because it came out that actually their father, Jose Menendez, may have mistreated, wink, wink, these kids as they were growing up, and that's what may have led them to make that decision to take both of their parents' lives. So now a California judge has resentenced them to 50 years to life, which means after serving 35 years for killing their parents, they will be eligible for parole, so they may actually get out of prison once and for all.
And because they were so young when they, you know, committed the crime and were sentenced, you know, yes, 35 years to spend in prison is a very, very long time. They can now get out and have some semblance of a life.
Yeah, I mean, you can kind of recoup the years that you lost, which, you know, you'll never get those back. But I mean, also their parents will never get their lives back. So, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, give and take here. But I know that both of them are married. I think one of them has been married twice and had an affair in prison. So, like, you know, life is still life and behind bars. But, you know, you can still come out and reclaim your life and still live life free eventually if they are great. Parole, so we'll see what happens.
So I was like, I'm not gonna say I was incredulous, but and it's so crazy how, you know, you not even maybe you would classify it as misremembering, but you only remember certain things about the trial when it happened. But the monster show, I wasn't a fan of. It felt very like exaggerated and it was very Hollywood. The documentary, however, was incredible. And watching that, by the end of the documentary, if you still think those two men deserve to be in prison, then you watched a very different documentary than I did. Because after watching that documentary, I was like, yeah, no, they need to get out.
I felt the same. I've watched all of the shows. I've always been a little confused on how I really feel. But if the documentary is true and the parents did what the documentary claims they did, then I believe that they have served their time and they should be free. It's just such a tricky thing when the parents are obviously not here to defend themselves and you don't know the story. But I do agree with if the documentary is true, they should be free.
I also remember people were comparing Eric and Lyle to Gypsy Rose Blanchard, who kind of had a similar situation where she was mistreated and abused by her mom for her entire life. And she only got 10 years. And granted, she wasn't the one that actually executed the murder. She was just a conspirator in it and her boyfriend did it. But at the same time, like, you know, you see her case and then you see all the empathy that she got when people really felt like they could empathize with her side of the story. And you see Eric and Lyle Menendez. And I think a lot of the reason people haven't empathized with them as much is because A, they were the ones that actually did the murder. But also, I think people tend to not have as much empathy for men as they do for women.
Did the documentary, I can't remember, go into why they would have killed the mom? Because that part I always
because she knew
on.
And she didn't she do anything allowed. About
okay.
it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think they spoke up about it. And there's also now new evidence that's come out that I think has really changed people's minds as well, like a letter from 1988 where Eric wrote talking about the abuse. And also a former Menudo brother said that the father, Jose Menendez, also mistreated him as well. Wow. So it's a very interesting case. I'm really going to be interested to see if they're able to get parole, but that won't be for another couple more years because they still haven't served quite those 35 years just yet. All right, Kim Kardashian delivered a very chilling testimony in that $10 million Paris robbery. If you remember this back in 2016, this was a absolutely harrowing story. A bunch of guys broke into her hotel room. They were dressed up as cops. They had the concierge from the hotel like in handcuffs, trying to translate between Kim Kardashian and the robbers, basically all to get her very, very expensive engagement ring from Kanye West. It's a terrifying story. No matter how you feel about Kim Kardashian, nobody deserves to go through that. And the BBC has now reported some of her testimony. And she said, you know, I came to Paris for Fashion Week, and Paris is always a place that I love so much. I always felt really safe. I'd stop in little hotels for hot chocolate, and it was magical. When I came for Fashion Week during that trip, it changed everything. I was still in such shock because, honestly, a lot of terrorist attacks were going on in the world at that time, and me and my friends were talking about what was going on in the world. I didn't get what was happening, and I didn't get it was about my jewelry, even though they were specifically asking for my ring, which she talks about and says that she thought she was going to get hurt mm-hmm. in more ways than one. So she's really lucky for considering it was just a robbery. But I mean, I can't even imagine living with that trauma. All right, this singer is admitting she thought her most popular song was dumb. I'm going to explain which song that is on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
I feel like music is the one industry where dumb sometimes wins. All you need to do is hear that one Justin Bieber song, Yummy, and be like, yeah, mm-hmm. sometimes dumb can win. Or that Crazy Frog song, or
Pineapple, whatever that stupid song is.
Anything from Black Eyed Peas.
Absolutely.
Gangnam Style. I'm sexy and I know it. Sometimes dumb just resonates with people.
Cotton Eye Joe. Don't
be hating on the Cotton Eye Joe.
Oh, girl, I'm going to hate on the Cotton Eye Joe.
I'll be dancing to the Cotton Eye Joe.
Did you guys say the, what does the fox say?
How did that song become a hit?
I have no idea.
I think it was like an internet meme. I don't know if that song was actually like legit. I felt like it was like a YouTube.
That was a song, man.
Dear God. Anyway, well, Kesha is coming out and admitting that one of her biggest songs, she believes it was too dumb until it became a hit. The dumber it got, the better it got. She was recently on the Jennifer Hudson Show and likes to think of herself as a pretty smart person, but this song was pretty dumb.
And TikTok was a huge hit, and you wrote that at 21. Did you know it was going to be the hit it was?
No, oh my God. No, when I was writing TikTok, it was weird because the dumber it got, the better it got. Which was confusing, because like I like to think of myself as a fairly intelligent human being, but it just got dumber and dumber and better and better. So when I listened to the final product, I was like, this is too dumb. And it's like 1.5 billion streams at this point.
I mean, that don't sound dumb to me.
Don't ever think you're too dumb for America.
No.
Never.
And just to clarify, what does the fox say?
Oh, okay.
It peaked at the top of the Norwegian singles chart.
Okay, Europop.
But it was successful in the U.S., where it peaked at number 6 on the Billboard Hot 100 for 3 consecutive weeks.
That's crazy.
Weeks.
Wow. That might be a fun game tomorrow. Like, find the most random and lame songs, and we try to guess how high they went up on the charts.
Oh, man.
Because I would have never said it went that high.
Number 6.
Simple sales records, man.
Somebody is driving around in a Porsche because of that song.
Uh-huh.
All right, Salma Hayek, she recently announced on the Today Show that she is a Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover model. This is very exciting. She's alongside Olympian Jordan Chiles, influencer Livy Dunn, and also model Lauren Chan. But she said she was shocked that this is happening at this stage of her life, considering she is 58 years old.
I remember when I was young and hot.
You're still hot.
I used to look at this magazine and I wanted to see who was the new gorgeous model, the new girl of the moment. And it never crossed my mind that I could be in that court because they didn't look like me. My body is not necessarily the model type. And it just, I never thought that was a possibility. And for it to happen when I'm 58, I mean, it's really shocking.
Yeah, I love that they're diversifying who they're choosing, because I think last year, like, wasn't it Martha Stewart that was also featured? And we were like, nobody ever thought of Martha Stewart as a sex symbol until Sports Illustrated gave her the platform.
What I love about Salma Hayek speaking out about this is she is one of the most beautiful women. I think we can all agree, like, she is gorgeous. Yeah. And that's an understatement. She's all right. That's high marks from Mo. And yet here she is saying, I didn't think it could be me because I didn't fit the stereotypical standards. So next time you feel bad about yourself, remember Selma Hayek feels bad about, well, not bad about herself, but doesn't think she's beautiful enough to be on a magazine cover for Sports Illustrated. And if Selma Hayek doesn't think she makes the cut, then it's all stupid and you can just go about your day feeling good about yourself.
That doesn't make me feel better. If Selma Hayek thinks she's ugly, what am I?
You guys are probably more in tune to this than I am, but I was walking around Target the other day and just noticed the stark difference between models now that are modeling clothes at Target than it used to be.
It's a lot more diverse.
Yeah, it's all about diverse.
Oh my gosh, it's so great. I went in one the other day and saw in the kids section when I'm shopping for my kids, one of the child models was disabled and was in a wheelchair. And I was like, how great is that for kids to be able to see themselves represented, but also for able-bodied kids to be able to see kids in a wheelchair represented like just the same way on huge like billboards as models. I think it's wonderful.
I just like the mannequins actually look like real humans. Because you know how back in the day it used to be like the perfect hourglass waist. I love that now I walk by a mannequin. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's my body would look like that if I had that clothes on.
Me too, until yesterday when I was like, that's a cute dress, and realized I was in the pregnancy section and not the plus size section.
No.
It was really cute, though.
All right, Diddy's ex-girlfriend Cassie's testimony from court is out, and she's explaining what led up to that harrowing attack in the hallway at an L.A. hotel. I'll tell you more in your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Going to give the parent warning here because we're going to get into some more adult and graphic content because we are talking about Cassie Ventura's testimony at the trial yesterday for Diddy's case. And we're going to be covering this pretty much for the next, 10 weeks it's going to be going on. So Cassie Ventura dated Diddy for about 11 years. She met him when she was 19 and then finally left in the late 2010s. And so she took the stand yesterday. And I think most people were most interested in hearing what she was going to have to say about that footage that came out from her pretty recently, where she was attacked by Diddy in a hallway. It's absolutely harrowing footage. But she took the stand yesterday for her testimony for 6 hours. It was harrowing to hear from what I've heard.
And 8 months pregnant doing that.
8.5 months pregnant. Like, homegirl is ready to, like, pop. So she talked in detail about how controlling Diddy was during their relationship. Like, full-on manipulation. She said that he would choose her clothes, he would dictate how she wore her hair, and even tell her when she could post on social media. Allegedly, he isolated her from her friends and family by limiting her phone and computer access. He would literally lock her devices away so she couldn't reach out to anyone. She would speak about, she spoke about the events he forced her to participate in, which at this point we all know are called freak-offs. She says that they were drug-fueled sex parties where she was made to have sex with male prostitutes, and then Diddy would either watch them or film them. Sometimes, she said, he would give her ecstasy or other drugs beforehand, and she would be too out of it from taking those drugs or the alcohol to resist. She even recalled one particular time in Miami when he hired two male escorts and made her have sex with both of them while he filmed it. She said afterwards, she felt disgusting and like a pawn. And also, one of the things that pressured her into staying is because a lot of times these freak-off parties would be recorded. She felt like these would be blackmail materials that he would use against her. So if she tried to leave, she felt like he would release those as a way to humiliate her and even take her career away. So she said for years she lived in fear that he would release them. He had obviously a lot of resources to do that. And then she also described the violent incident at the Intercontinental Hotel in Los Angeles back in 2016. Again, this is the one that was caught on footage. She said she tried to leave him during one of the freak-offs. And then, of course, he attacked her and was very physically violent with her and only stopped when hotel staff showed up. There was also another moment, very, very disturbing, where Diddy allegedly made her carry a loaded gun while they drove to confront Suge Knight at his studio. She said that she was terrified and had no idea if he planned to use it or just wanted to intimidate people. She said she felt trapped, scared, and couldn't leave because of how much he controlled her life and career.
Because I'm sure a lot of people are going to come at her and be like, 11 years at no point in time you thought you could leave after 11 years. But I think those are people who don't understand the complexities of a domestic violence relationship. And it's not as easy as you think it would be to walk away.
The opening statement from Sean Combs' defense attorney, honestly, like as someone who talks a lot to women who deal with intimate partner violence on my podcast, it felt ignorant. I was like, I can't believe a grown adult is saying something like this, because the statement that was said at the opening, the opening statement at the court case said she made a choice every single day for years, a choice to stay with him being Sean Diddy Combs, a choice to fight for him because for 11 years, that was the better choice. She communicated it to him and then ran into the arms of another man, a physical trainer Combs had hired to train her. I'm like,
that's how he started cross-examination.
That was the opening statement. And it's basically just like, well, I mean, it's your fault you stayed in this relationship. But if you know anything about these relationships where there's manipulation and control, like it's not, you can't just leave. Like it's not as easy as just walking out, especially when you feel like you're not going to have a future afterwards because of how he may retaliate.
There was a few things that were interesting to me about the trial so far. One was the fact that it's the first time, I think they said in 6.5 years, that Cassie and Diddy were in the same room together. That was interesting to me. I know the decision was made to keep Cassie's current husband out of the courtroom throughout her testimony, which I obviously think was a lot better for him, because I don't know how he would sit through hearing all of these things. That would be insane. And the defense is obviously making a play toward making everything seem consensual, right? Where they made Cassie speak to having text messages of her saying that she was excited about the freak-offs. So it's pretty clear the angle of the defense. At some point, for me, the prosecution is going to have to connect Diddy to the charges, right? Because Diddy is not on trial for being a monster. If he was, I think the book would be closed. We all believe that. But at some point, the prosecution has to actually attach the charges to what Diddy is doing. And so far, they haven't done that. So it's going to be interesting to me to see when they actually do.
What are the charges?
Racketeering, transportation with prostitution, and sex trafficking.
So I think right now, what the prosecution is doing is establishing, defining his character.
Character,
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And using Cassie to do that as to the type. So first you have to establish what type of person it is and get people to believe, oh, then this person is very likely to have done XYZ. And then that's when you bring in the evidence of XYZ.
Right. That's what I'm saying. He's definitely a monster. Like that part, they got clear. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they connect the actual charges to him.
Yeah.
Lifestyle.
It's obviously taken a huge toll on him too, because a lot of people have spoken about how different he looks, how much weight he's lost, how his hair is getting gray.
Yeah, that'll happen in jail.
I don't think it's an easy place to be, especially up in New York.
Yeah, from the outside looking in, it looks like a pretty stressful place.
All right, for more stories, head to the Bird Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
Hey, the Bird Show.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.